Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this place and to this hour. We ask your blessing upon the message as we share the love of Christ. Help us to be ready to confess Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's certain dates and years that seem to stick out in people's lives, sometimes personal, sometimes as a nation. I was raised in the 60s, so when I think of 1963, I immediately think of the assassination of President Kennedy. And we could go through the different decades and the different significant dates. 1988, I think of the explosion with Krista McCullough, the teacher in space. 2001, how can we forget those dates? So many dates for a nation. Individually, there are nations that, there are dates that stand out. Maybe it's the year that you were married, or the year that you had your first child, or your first grandchild for us. What exciting times those are. For car enthusiasts, everybody remembers the first car that you ever bought, what year it was, what make it was. Those are always a part of our history. What about 2017, the year we find ourselves in? It truly is an amazing year as well. Personally, for my family, for my wife and I, a lot of changes taking place with my retiring from the ministry, moving after 18 years to a new community, changes that take place. But I believe it's also an amazing year for us as Lutherans. We all know that 2017 is the 500th anniversary of that date when the Reformation started, when Luther nailed those 95 theses to the castle door in Wittenberg. Yes, it seems like the whole world this year is kind of directing and focusing its attention on Luther and what happened in the Reformation. So it's a good year to be a Lutheran and to emphasize that for ourselves. But there's even more in 2017. 2017 also marks the 75th anniversary of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, our LWML, which does so much to encourage us as God's people in sharing the message of Christ's love for us throughout our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. It's great stuff. It's a big deal. It's great to be a Lutheran. But you know, in those 500 years since the Reformation, or the 75 years since the anniversary or of the formation of the LWML, since it was organized, confessing the faith, bearing witness to Jesus, has not gotten any easier. And I think if anything, it seems to be more and more difficult both to speak and to live as God's people, as Christians today. And if it's that hard now, who knows what the future, what lies in the future for us or for our children or for our grandchildren. But you know, sometimes get a little troubled when you think about those things. And yet then we have to remind ourselves, God is faithful. God is in control. God knows what he is doing. And no matter what the world, the devil himself, or even our own sinful flesh does, God's promise is that his church and his word will endure. And so, building on God's promises, we know that this is our time to be distinctly Lutheran. It's our time as confessing Lutherans to be ready to confess Jesus to a world that desperately needs to hear the message of Jesus, his message of comfort and hope and forgiveness. Now, to be proclaimers of the message of salvation ought to be something that is central to our identity as Christians and also then, of course, as Lutherans. Listen to what Paul says. We're looking at the epistle lesson for today, his letter to Timothy, second letter to Timothy. Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Now, when the Apostle Paul wrote these words to Timothy, he did so as one writing to a fellow pastor, to a man specifically called to carrying out the office of the public ministry. So we might wonder, what do these words have to say to you as lay people? But he also knew full well the challenges that would face Timothy in that first century as a Christian. But also he knew that Timothy had come to faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the faithful teaching of a committed mother and grandmother. In this second letter, in the first chapter, this is what Paul says about Timothy. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." The good news of the gospel is given to us to share with those whom God has placed in our lives. I think there's a real faith lesson for us as the redeemed people of God. It doesn't matter what your station, your position in life is. Proclaiming the salvation won by Jesus Christ is not just the pastor's job. It's not just the vicar's job. Certainly for Timothy, he had a mother and a grandmother who sat with him and told him about the love of Jesus. And every single one of us has been called by God to be ready to confess Christ as God opens the doors of opportunity to us. I think the Apostle Peter says it a lot better than I could ever say it in his first epistle in chapter 3. Listen to what he says, again referring to all of us. He says, "In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." And here it is for all of us. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." So again, he's reminding us as his redeemed people, if we know Jesus and if we love Jesus, we need to be ready to tell why that hope for eternal life is ours, to tell others so that they too can know Jesus. And certainly this need is as pronounced today as it has ever been. I read statistics that said that 90% of Americans claim that they believe in God. But I think it's all too apparent as we look at society and America today, their understanding of the one true God from the Bible, that we know from the Bible, is far different. Also saw a statistic that said upwards of 60% of evangelical Christians, now you and I as Lutheran Church Missouri Synod people fall under that broader category of evangelical Christians, that upwards of 60% of these Christians think that there may be other ways to salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ. To me, that's a frightening, frightening statistic. Acts 4:12, what does it say? Their salvation is in no other name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we are saved. And yet upwards of 60% disagree with what God tells us in His Word, that there may be other ways to salvation. The need is critical for us to be bold in our confession of Jesus Christ, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone as revealed in the Scriptures alone. And then you add to that what Paul says here in describing the people of his day. Listen to what he says. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. There are going to be people in Paul's day, in Timothy's day, who want to only hear what they want to hear, and so they can create God in their own image. Almost sounds like a commentary on 2017. But not just 2017, also 1517, when God called Martin Luther to confess Christ. The world at that time, too, was so easily confused and misunderstood God and His Word. Worship of saints had intruded upon the worship of Christ. Works were preached as necessary for salvation in addition to faith in Christ Jesus. Purgatory, images, relics, and other aberrations confused and obscured the gospel of salvation in Christ alone. And I think because of all of that, that's what led to the unique character of the Lutheran Reformation, because it forced Luther to look into the Scriptures. And he began to ask that important question, what does it mean to be right, to be righteous in the eyes of God? And of course, for Luther, as he grew up, the answer to that was clear. Keep God's law perfectly. Then you'll be right with God. But unfortunately for Luther, as it is for us, he didn't quite live up to that perfection that he knew God demanded. So Luther went to the priest for forgiveness and confessed his sins repeatedly. Every sin. He dredged up every thought, every word, every deed that he had could in a lifetime of sin. And he confessed them before that priest. He received absolution or forgiveness. And then he went out and did good things to make satisfaction or to show that he was worthy of forgiveness. But then as he went out and tried to do those things, he thought of other sins and more problems in his life. And he realized how imperfect and how impure and how unworthy he was. His deeds simply were not good enough to get him into a right relationship with God. And thankfully for Luther, the light of understanding finally came on when he was reading in the book of reading the Scriptures, especially in the book of Romans, that the righteousness of God is not found in us being good enough. The righteousness of God is all about Jesus. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is the one who has accomplished salvation for Luther and for us. Jesus is the one who has made us right or righteous in the eyes of God. And so he finally understood that great exchange that took place when you and I and when Luther was brought to faith. The filthy rags of our sinfulness, our rebellion against God, all of that, Jesus took it all and placed it upon himself. And he carried it to the cross where he was crucified, where he died as payment for each and every sin of every person who has ever lived or whoever will live. And the perfect righteousness that was his, he never sinned. That perfect righteousness he bestows upon us. He gives to us. The prophet Isaiah talks about the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness that we are clothed in by means of the water and word of holy baptism when God brought us to faith. That we are righteous in His sight. So where before we were sinners, now by God's grace through faith in Christ, we are saints, perfectly righteous in the sight of God because our sins have been forgiven and taken away. Where before we were far from God because that wall of sin separated us from God, now we have been brought near to God. We are members of His family, and we are heirs of salvation. That gospel, that precious message, is what you and I have to be ready to confess. And that's what Luther did throughout his life until his death in 1546. Faithful to confessing Christ. Kind of poses perhaps a question for us. How do we, each one of us in our own personal lives, how do we, like Luther, prepare ourselves to be ready to confess? I believe you're doing it by being here in God's house, studying God's Word. You do it when you read your Bible at home and grow in your faith and read your devotions, because you're creating a better relationship between you and Jesus. And the stronger that relationship is, the more willing you will be to confess Christ. But today in particular, we're kind of directing our attention to the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and recalling their work of sharing the message of the gospel. They have been so faithful through their 75 years of carrying out their mission. Listen, their mission is this: to assist each woman of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the triune God so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world. That's what they do. That's what we are to do. You know, really never a perfect time to start an organization like the LWML. But could we have chosen a time more challenging than the year that they started? If you recall, if you subtract 75 from 2017, 1942 is when it was started. The world had been at war for 3 years. The United States had entered that war the year before, in 1941. Rations were short. Many young, yes, and older men were joining the service to fight overseas. Women were entering the workforce to fill those vacancies left by those new soldiers. The circumstances were challenging, to say the least. And yet, in July of 1942, 100 women gathered, 28 formal delegates in Chicago, and established the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. To emphasize for the women of our church missionary education, missionary preparation, and missionary service. And of course, it decided to gather funds for mission opportunities outside of the budget of the synod. We're all familiar with those yet today, with those mite boxes that have raised so many, as we saw in the video, so many millions of dollars for the work of ministry and sharing the gospel. But there's more. The history of the LWML, historian Marlis Tagey Moberg wrote this, and I think it's significant. Maybe it helps all of us to see what we are all to be about. It says, I quote, "The blessing of the LWML, now also known as Lutheran Women in Mission, goes far beyond the millions raised for missions." And these words are right here now. "Its benefit can be seen in faith deepened through Bible studies, in confidence built through leadership training, in the befriending of career missionaries, in blankets and clothing gathered for the impoverished, in food shared with the hungry, and above all, in the friendships nurtured and the lives changed by sharing the love of Jesus Christ." You're sitting on some of that love this morning with the quilts that have been made by these ladies. a lot of work that they do, a lot of work that they encourage all of us to do. You know, time marches on, and as we get older, it seems to be going double time. But you know what? Through all of that time, the Lord has remained faithful. Think about it. Throughout history, He has raised up faithful pastors like Timothy, or Paul and Timothy, like Luther, like Pastor Hartwig, faithful pastors who preached the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised to life for our justification. And that same Lord has, through the years, raised up faithful men and women and children who have carried out the work of the Lord with zeal and devotion, meeting the challenges of each new age and seizing opportunities to witness for Christ. God faithfully keeps His promise. His will is being done through you and through His people. May God make each of us always ready and eager to desire to confess Jesus to others. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.